McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
Welcome once again to Folk at Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns. Three wins in a row. Say it again. It's been a year since we managed that, and don't get too far ahead of myself. But Ross, the Bairns are back.
When was
the last? Surprisingly, obviously, the ginger god of pod, Ross Wayne, joining us on the podcast as pair. Can you name the last time we beat three teams in a row?
Are we going back quite far, or is it last season?
Surprisingly not. At the start of last season, we had a run where we beat Peterhead, Airdrie and Clyde.
We did, and then the wheels fell off again the week after.
We were all on board the Paul Sheeran train. I remember got that Airdrie away game going, we would never have won that last year. Here, I think we've got something here. And then we got beat off Queen of South. And then that was it. The wheels came off.
Massively came off.
That surprised me, that it was just this time last year that we managed to pull 3 wins to go. Well, let's go for the fourth.
Well, come
fourth
on.
And fifth. Dundee in the
come country. On.
Let's see. Obviously, we're going to be talking about that 3-1 win against Queen of the South at the weekend. Going to look ahead, two games to look ahead to, Ross. Dundee in the Cup on Tuesday, and we're going to be back in league action on Saturday against Kelty away. And this week, we're asking, this was inspired by our guest today, Stevie Hamilton, who's going to be our guest pundit. He's come all the way over from New Zealand.
Just for this podcast,
but he's obviously missed a few games because he travels the world. So we thought we'd ask the question, what's that one big game you missed? And Ross, you are desperate. You have been since we started this podcast to tell a certain story about my good
self. I have no idea what you could be referring to, John.
We'll get to that in a wee bit. Right, a few things to deal with, bit of business to deal with before we get into the games and what have you. Bairns abroad. We're still looking for all those listening in foreign climes. We have, first of all, come in with this one. Callum, love the podcast, guys. If you're looking for more far-flung Bairns, I'm listening from Slovakia. There you go. Moved out here recently. Watching the games on Falkirk TV. Of course, we finally look like a decent side as soon as I've left. So, aye.
Do you know, Slovakia, that's a first, isn't it?
I know, that's the first. We should get a wee map, Ross, like the Indiana Jones map, and like have a wee dots on where people are listening to the podcast. Yeah. Another Aussie listener is coming. Shout out to Tony Q, listening from Newcastle in New South Wales. A fellow Bairn feeling a little homesick.
That's a few from Australia we've had now. Obviously, I think Australia's probably the most popular overseas Bairns country that we've had so far. A few in from America, different areas, different states.
I would love somewhere random, somewhere absolutely random, like Peru. Someone listening in Peru or something like that. So you are a Bairn. I'm just clicking into the status, Ross, because we've not checked in a wee while to see where people are listening to the podcast.
Okay,
and let's have a look worldwide. We have got listeners. Portugal, New Zealand, Spain, Greece, Japan. We've got a Japanese listener out there, so please get in touch if you're listening. Yeah, we're the second biggest country is out with UK is Australia. We've got 2% of our listeners from Australia. So
thank you very much.
So last week it was all about looking for a celebrity fan, Ross.
Yes, we were indeed,
and we looked. And you know, the Lord giveth. So may I introduce Falkirk's biggest celebrity fan, as posted this week. Take it away, Mr. Rylan Clark.
Come on the Bairns! Come on the Bairns!
There we go. the bold Ryland with Fergus the Fox there shouting, come on, the Bairns. So we can take that, I think, Ross.
I think we're taking that one because we've included celebrities who've not even went that far. So I think we do need to take that one on board.
So welcome to the Bairns, Mr. Ryland Clark. He's good banter as well. He's good value, Ryland.
Yeah. He's not everyone's cup of tea, but listen, he's now obviously got his favourite Scottish football team. So
exactly.
We'll take it. So, not done that for any other club, has he? So
he has not. So Ryland Clark is a Bairn, so fantastic. However, the God, Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. We've had a message in from Graham Ross. He says, great, listen, lads. As a kid, I lived just a few doors up Hugh Street from Forbes Masson. Now, Forbes Masson, we talked about last week, Ross. We had him down as a celebrity Bairn. The high life, he's appeared in things with Simon Pegg, lots of TV shows. However, Graham says, I don't recall him as a Brockville regular, but nice to hear him being name-checked.
I know, that's a sore one, because we kind of just assumed he would be a Bairn. Listen, Forbes, we know we've tagged you into a post, so hopefully you're a listener. Get in touch if Graham is wrong and that you are.
I've still not reached out to his wife, Melanie Masson, X-Factor. There's the first name drop of the day.
Do that. Pick that one back up. But yeah, do that because she'll know definitively. And if she can send a picture of him in some sort of Bairns shirt or whatever, even if it's one of those signs saying, fuck the bars, that'll do.
Yes, absolutely. However, Stuart Gray, we've talked about Stuart Gray. We were nominated as a celebrity listener. He's been in touch. Viva Stereo, played in a few bands around Falkirk. He says, I'm definitely not a celebrity listener, but nice to know Viva Stereo aren't forgotten. Great podcast. Currently live in Leicester, but still follow the club as much as I can. Hopefully get along to game this season. Viva, and I love the plug in here from Stuart. Viva Stereo are on Spotify if anyone fancies listening to us. PS, I still have the hat. Plus a shout out to the original Viva Stereo drummer, Jamie Archibald, who still has a season ticket and keeps you up to date every Saturday with a match report. Get him on the show. Viva Falkirk.
Love it. Get him on.
Aye, absolutely. So there we go, Stewie Gray, not a celeb listener, but very good band.
We'll take it.
I might have a plan though, Ross. Might have a plan.
Oh, right, hit me.
Right, so there's some celebrities coming into the radio station. I obviously work on Clyde One. We've got a wee celebrity. Mm-hmm. The cast of Still Game, minus Greg and Ford, are coming in. So we're going to have Bobby the Barman, Isa, Winston and Naveed. So they're all
so some of them have already got Scottish clubs. However, is there anyone that doesn't?
I know Winston Celtic. I think Sanjeev Kohli might be Rangers, you know.
Sounds like a Thistle fan, doesn't he?
He might. We'll quiz him on that. Bobby the Barman, I'm not too sure about. And I'm not too sure about. So, and maybe if the opportunity arises, maybe take a wee Falkirk scarf into the studio.
Take one in. You never know.
Get a wee picture with the
We'll start with it. We'll start with a scarf or a strip, and then we'll take it for there.
So if we get all four of them holding up the Falkirk scarf,
we'll take that.
I will try my best this Friday. So watch this space.
See how you go.
We talked about our youngest player ever last week. Remember we were having that debate about Piers Carroll.
We were.
I'm thinking it could be our youngest. Thank you very much. We've had an answer on this.
It was Gordon Hall.
Gordon. Got in touch with us and he's done research on this. This has clearly been an argument in the pub before. He says the youngest player we've actually played for Falkirk is Craig Sibbald. He's sure of that. Liam Dick is the second youngest and there's only a few days between them. So Liam Dick, get this, 16 years, 2 months and 6 days when he made his debut.
Right.
Sibs, 16 years, 2 months and 5 days.
That's tight. Now, where does Piers fall into this?
So Piers, I think he's just beyond that. I know he's certainly just turned 16.
Have we checked? Because if not, I'll do it now. Let's check to see if we can find a date of birth for him.
And this then we'll
is a, back this is a bit wrong because he is 16. So I hopefully this for the right reasons. It's for the right reasons. So where would we find his date of birth? In fact, we're not, are we? Because that's not going to be something that's.
He's not going to be on. Piers is not going to be on Wikipedia yet, mate.
No, probably not. But then. is there not loads of these weird websites that always throws up like a date of birth or something like that?
No,
I don't know. Listen, Piers is following us, so let's reach out to him. I think this is what we need to do.
I looking back in July, I've just seen a thing. In July 2022, he was 16. So that was a few months ago. So I don't think he's going to do
that. Right, okay.
That's a shame. Well, we'll keep on top of that. But at the moment, Sibs is the youngest player that has played for us. So okay. Thanks for clearing that up, Gordon. Right. I don't know how we got onto this as well, Ross, but we're ugly players. How do we... Can you remember us talking about ugly players last week? Donald has reached out. Okay.
Right, okay. I don't remember this conversation. Did we have it?
I think Donald's just thrown this one into the ring here.
So let's start
the conversation. Who's the ugliest player that's played for Falkirk? He says he started watching the Bairns as a 10-year-old in 1960, so I have memories from then on in. I remember the record holding a cup for the ugliest player in Scottish football, and it was won by our very own Willie Wigham. I think he beat Davy Dodds. That's from Donald, who's listening in Chorley, Lancashire.
Wow. Okay, so if he beat Davy Dodds, he must be
Wally Wigham.
He must be on the wrong side of the ugly stick then.
Are we getting uglier than Wally Wigham? Please get your nomination for the ugliest player that played Falkirk. Ross, is there anyone that comes straight off the top of your head?
Do you know, obviously, I know he's been mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I know, is it?
What's you it? Know who I'm going to say, don't you?
Right, go on, I'm going to let you take the platform.
Well, there might have been a striker we signed, but I'm not going to name him. There might have been a striker we signed from Aberdeen mid-noughties.
This is the continued beef between you and John Stewart, who you refer to as
I'm not said his name.
You're saying definitively, if you're listening, John Stewart, not only has Ross called you Steptoe on Facebook and you've responded to it, now he's saying you're the ugliest player that's ever played for Falkirk.
I said he might be.
What's that beeping there? Is that the reversing of a truck?
I'm trying to think of... It's a tough one, isn't it? Because it's not as if you and I are like male models. But then we're not footballers either. So
fair game. Right, let's get it in. I'll go play that point for Falkirk. Let's get that chat on the go for next week.
Okay.
Love it. Continued chat as well, Ross. We put this out there after our chippy chat and Benny T's chat last week. We asked for the best chippy in Falkirk, and we've had a big response on this. Do you want to kick us off?
We did. We had a big one. So Martin Buchanan suggests McFarlane's Fish and Chicken Bar in Brighton's.
Callum Wilson's went for the classic Moscardini's.
Martin Bell, the Golden Chip. Is that the one that used to be in the town centre?
Is that Bainsford was the Golden Chip? Oh no, it's the Golden Chip on Graham's Road.
I thought the Golden Chip was the one next to Callander, the Cali Arms, or whatever that's called.
Yes. Now. I think you might be right. I think you're maybe right.
Yeah.
Andrew's showing his old age here. It says Moscardini's every day except Tuesday when it was the man along the road just because they had the radio on for the top 40.
Well, okay, that is
that's for Andrew.
Yeah. Homer's twin says he uses Julio's in Williamson Street. Obviously, the street was named after a very young CAFU, like PE teacher, Mr. Williamson.
Andrew Robinson, definitely Seaside and Shield Hill for me.
Yeah, there was a few that was coming out. Shield Hill, wasn't there? There were a couple of Rossies, not myself, but there was a couple of Rossies got in touch. So Bruno's in Stenismuir for a special fish supper. And again, there was another Ross who suggested Pullman's Land and Sea.
Angela is going for it. I'll do a wee memory throwback. Loved going to Moscardini's in Manor Street when I was a kid for a treat when we came through to Falkirk from Denny. Instead, I now go to Ben Keys after footy, heading back to Cumbernauld afterwards. So we'll be interested in your results, says Angela.
Indeed. Andy Rogers,
former
Bairn, he got in touch. He said the same place as yourself, John. So is it Cello's?
Cello's
and Kinnear's.
Yeah, there's a few nominations in for that as well. And finally, I've got to put a shout out to our pal Richard Lindsay. He's actually set up on page on Instagram. Now go and check this out right now. Falkirk Chippy Rater. So you can go on to Instagram, and Richard, he says it's not him, but we all know it is you, Richard. But he set up a Falkirk chippy rater. Now, can you guess, out of all the chippies that he has went through, what the top chippy is in Falkirk, according to Richard?
Out of the blue. None of the ones we've mentioned. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to say Lemetti's and Camlin.
Lemetti's didn't score very well with Richard. It got 2.3 out of 10. However, Dills and Denny, which I'm not aware of, got a 7.8 out of 10. And he says, perfect dry chips, crisp fresh fish, generous portion, worth a visit. So Dills is that. But we're not going to take Richard's word for it, right? We're going to put this out to the public, right? So out of all the suggestions we've got a shortlist of four because we can only have four Twitter options on the poll, right? So here's your Twitter options. Drum roll for the best chippy in the Falkirk area.
There we go.
Chelsea and Larbert. The Seaside in Shield Hill. Bruno's in Stenismuir. And finally, the classic Landensea and Pullman are the four nominations. Now, I know there's going to be arguments over this, but that's just what we're going with from what's coming in Twitter and in Facebook. So that's your nominations. So get voting and we'll have the result next week, all right?
Perfect.
Right, let's crack on with what's happening in the news front. And there's not much happening, Ross.
No, it's been quiet.
Lots of sponsorships being mentioned.
Those continued. Those sponsorship announcements from the club were. It was almost hourly.
Hourly, something else is getting sponsored.
I know. However, as we know from the weekend, they were still searching for a goal flash sponsor for our very own Callum, the Steak Morrison. And John, I will let you announce the news.
Ross is winding me up here, and we are now, Falkirk Daft are the proud sponsor of Callum Morrison when he scores a goal, his goal sponsor. So every time that Callum Morrison, now that's 3-3, but we all know our luck, Ross, is probably
it's going to dry up now, isn't it?
But 3-3 for Cal, and now Falkirk Daft, the proud sponsors of Callum Morrison. He loves the steak.
He does. And if I don't know if there's anything that comes with a sponsorship, but we have to get him a steak dinner, whatever happens. We have to get him one. And Nesbitt the chicken, just in case.
Absolutely. One bit of news that just happened today. Falkirk drawn against Partick Thistle, third round of the SPFL Trust Trophy. Matches to take part, place 24th or 25th of September. We don't know what day we're going to be involved in yet.
It's not a bad draw. Obviously,
do you think the BBC Alba look to put us on, maybe?
Oh, I forgot they might take the game. So if they do take the game, I suppose it might be the Sunday or maybe the Friday night, which would suit, to be honest, because obviously Scotland played Republic of Ireland on the Saturday night. So anything that avoids the Saturday, in my opinion, would be pretty good. I'm just pleased that we've not drawn one of these stupid B-sides or one of these overseas teams, which is a nonsense, to be honest. But that
you can't draw the overseas in the third round, I believe. You can't draw it. It's not till the next round you can get an over.
No, they're in this one, John.
Oh,
they've
drawn. Right.
Yeah. No, they've drawn into. I think they couldn't have drawn each other, but they're in this round. Looking at the fixtures. So I just think it's a farce. I think it's a tournament for lower league Scottish football teams. I could almost understand like Highland League or Lowland League or something like that. But these B-sides is a farce. The overseas teams is a farce as well. Scottish tournament, Scottish teams. If you want to do something like this, open it up to everybody. Neil Doncaster needs to stop dicking around with this tournament. He really does.
Yeah, it'll be a decent way day out if we, you know, obviously Partick Thistle game, if it is a Saturday afternoon, and going to watch the Scotland game at night, so a decent day out anyway, so get that in the diaries. Got a bit of shout out as well to the Falkirk women's team, top of the league after they beat Steny 1-0. That's 3 wins and 3 for the women as well. Eva Rule scoring for the Bairns late on against Steny yesterday at the stadium, so top of the league for the Falkirk women as well.
Amazing. No, that's great to see. I think it's fantastic when you see all these teams, whether it's the women's teams or the kids' teams, playing on the Falkirk strips, getting loads of press, and the fact that they're doing well is brilliant as well.
Absolutely. Right, well, let's get into the game then. Let's talk about Queen of the South. And every week, obviously, we invite our guest pundit onto Falkirk Daft. And this week, he's come all the way back from New Zealand just to be on this podcast.
He has.
We'll take that. One of our Bairns abroad and Saturday's Man of the Match sponsor is Stevie Hamilton.
I am good, gentlemen. And I won't use that joke about Ross again, to be honest. Let's keep it sensible this time.
Absolutely. Listen, welcome back to Falkirk, mate. First game, and I love that. Your match sponsor. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll ask you about your man of the match choice a bit later on. But first of all, Stevie, we need to know what you...
There was only one choice for man of the match.
Oh, well, we'll talk
Let's
about
just
that.
Feel that up now.
We'll talk about that a bit later. What's your Falkirk story, Stevie? You've obviously, you work abroad, you've been out of the country for a bit. Well, how did you get into the Bairns?
I think my first Falkirk game would have been 1990-1991. And that was really just pestering my mother to take me somewhere that wasn't the Old Firm. I'd been to a few Alloa games in the late 80s because one of my mates and dad's played for them. And so when that stopped, I'm like, Mum, you need to take me somewhere else, but I'm not going to watch the Old Firm. So ended up at Brockwell. It would have been about 90 or 91. Don't specifically remember who it was or what the game was, but yeah, it would have been in that sort of time frame. Obviously hit then right through the 90s, early 2000s, pretty much home and away to some of those far-flung outposts of Scotland, as we always got back in those days.
Yeah,
and yeah, I left Scotland in 08, so I've been away 14 years now.
Wow.
First to Dubai, where I met my now Kiwi wife, so I've been based in New Zealand since 2011. And yeah, until Saturday, I hadn't seen us win much in the last 10 or 12 years.
Neither had we.
Well, there is that. I came back in 09 from Dubai for the Scottish Cup final. We lost 1-0 to Rangers. To be fair, we should have beat them.
Yeah.
I was back through 2012, 2013, probably for some random games. Then the Scottish Cup final against Inverness. I flew all the way from Dunedin, which is pretty much as far away as you can get in the world. Yeah. And I trekked all the way to Glasgow for the Scottish Cup final. And what happened? We lost again.
We did.
Sadly. To be honest. And that's probably, we were talking about it in the hospitality on Saturday. That's probably the one that hurts the most, yeah, to be fair, because when Peter Grant put that header in with 10 minutes to go, there should have only been one winner from that point.
Yeah.
But we threw that away. And yeah, I haven't been in Scotland. So this was my first trip. I've not been in Scotland since December 19. Duty. Let's not talk the last 2.5 years, everything that's happened in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was my first trip in pretty much I think I worked out to about 1,000 days since I was last in Scotland.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of. So yeah, so my brother, he's based in New York, so he flew in on Friday as well. So we thought, we're going to the Queen of the South game, we may as well do it properly. So it ended up being match sponsors for the day, as you said. which great day out, to be fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's my 30 odd years in a few minutes.
Well, there you go. Who's your favourite player over those 30 years, Stevie?
Oh, that's a hard choice, isn't it? There's a who's who of Falkirk over that period. We can pick all the ones that everyone would pick. But I'd actually go very different. And it was, again, conversation we had on Saturday. I always liked those guys who just, you knew when things got tough, they would dig us out of a hole. So I think the biggest example of that over those 30 years was probably Davy Nicholls.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
To be honest. Like, you knew when the chips were down, he would just grab it by the scruff of the neck and sort it out.
Yeah.
Great show.
Love Davy Nicholls.
And that, if we think over the last 5 or 6 years, that's probably something we've been missing as a club for a period of time now, is just some people who will grab it by the scruff of the neck. Haven't seen the first game in a while on Saturday. I think there's a couple of players on that side that might be up for a bit of that. Stephen McGinn certainly looks like he's that type. And I was talking to him after the game, and he's definitely just got that drive in him. I think that'll be invaluable.
Yeah.
Good.
And what we're asking on the big question later on, Stevie, what's that? You know, you've been away, you know, like you said, since 2008. What's the one game that you really regret missing?
Oh, I think there was, ironically, this is a slightly funny story. I'm sure there was a game on a Friday night, it was against Hibs.
The Hibs playoff game.
Was it a playoff game and we came back and beat them? Were we 2-2 and 1-3-2 or something like that?
Yeah.
And I was actually in the country and drove past the Falkirk Stadium about 20 minutes before kickoff and had a ticket. And I went, don't know if I can be bothered. I've just travelled. I can't remember where I came from for that one, to be honest. And literally decided 15 minutes before it, let's just go home and catch up on some sleep. After seeing the result, I wish I had turned into the Falkirk Stadium that night.
That's a sore one to miss.
That is a sore, especially when you're driving past it as well.
And the night out in Falkirk after that was just like every...
I can imagine. I wouldn't have had energy for that.
No, I was rocking, absolutely rocking. Listen, let's talk about missed games. Let's talk about the games we were actually at. Stevie, first time back in Falkirk in many a year, and it was Falkirk 3, Queen of the South 1, Morrison at Allegri and Lowell for the Bairns, Peyton for Queen of the South. Stevie, what was your initial thoughts on the game?
5 minutes in, I'm like, I don't know what everyone's complaining about. This team looks quite handy. The way we were knocking it around and really just pressuring them like right from the very start. Like we were in their face pretty much from the first minute. And I'm like, this isn't the Falkirk team I've been reading about. And I'm like, yeah. So I was really impressed by just how they were really, really getting into it. And our man Allegri was probably the epitome of that from the first few minutes. Like he was just dominating that back line. Like not giving them a minute's peace, getting his body in the way, all that stuff that good centre forwards do. There was nothing silky about it. It was just brute force, to be honest. But yeah, just the way we were like in the first 10 minutes, I'm like, this water well up for it. And I remember 10 minutes in, my brother saying, that number 10 looks like a bit of a player. Obviously, Aidan Nesbitt, who's probably been the most maligned out of that Falkirk side at the moment. And here's a reasonably neutral observer. So, he looks like a player.
Wow. Slightly mind. We'll get on to Nesbitt in a wee bit. Ross, obviously, obviously unchanged from the game against Edinburgh. Is that side you would have went with, or you were thinking in the pub beforehand, maybe a couple of little changes?
Yeah, I thought there may have been. I thought there might have been a tweak to the team. However, do you know what? Fair play to John McGlynn. He's kept consistent with a real solid winning side for the week before. His well-timed subs on Saturday were just phenomenal. As we saw, John, we were obviously just behind the dugout and those changes were being made before he even knew the penalty was being given. Because, in fact, John McGlynn didn't even see the foul. He was facing the subs bench talking to the players. So it's great that he obviously witnessed what was going on. And I think that scenario actually showed how little I may know about football, because I turned and said to you, right, Nesbitt's just fired an absolute shocking pass across the pitch. He's definitely getting subbed.
Yeah,
and it stayed on. And then, but do you know what? He didn't just stay on. McGlynn moved him into a different position and he was absolutely fantastic on Saturday, other than maybe a 5 minute spell when he lost a couple of balls. But Nesbitt, that was his best game in a Falkirk shirt for me. Absolutely.
Really? You go that far? Wow.
I think that was his best game. It might not have been the hard thing because he's not been brilliant over consistently, but I thought that was his best game on Saturday.
Wow. I mean, we had, like you say, we came out the traps, like Stevie was saying, flying at the traps, early chance for Allegri. Nesbitt had the header off the bar as well. Yeah. And it just looked like we were completely at it, Stevie.
Yeah. Back to what Ross said a minute ago, though. I must admit, when McGlynn made a triple substitution, I'm like, this is new. I don't remember triple substitutions really ever being a thing. but then I watched the rerun of the Celtic game today, and I think Ange made 4 substitutions at the same time. Has this become much more of a thing? Like, multiple substitutions?
Five subs now. You're only 5 subs, but you can only have it three occasions. Is that right, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. 3 breaks in play or something like that. Yeah. And I think half-time might count as one of those breaks in play.
Yeah, so that was just a completely new phenomenon for me, watching them make multiple substitutions like that. But yeah, as Ross said, like the freedom really changed the game again. Like, because I must admit, when they scored the penalty, I went, here we go again.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to fall out of it, but those three substitutions really made a difference. And like the two new English guys, like look like they've just got a bit of a strut about them, for want of a better word.
Definitely. There's a confidence there, isn't there?
Yeah. Although I was talking to a couple of guys on Saturday who says when they first turned up at the club, it was literally head down, won't talk to anyone. Like almost exactly the opposite. So obviously a bit of confidence from a couple of decent performances has got them going a bit. Everyone enjoys a play like that as well, to be honest.
Absolutely. Great first goal, obviously, straight from the keeper. John McGlynn talked about his post-match interview, something they were working on is getting that ball quicker from the goalkeeper up to the striker. Nicky, great, saw Alegria, great ball up to him. Again, Alegria had those defenders on toast in that first half. Great hold-up play, we've been talking about that, Ross, on Falkirk Daft. Just as hold-up plays, link-up plays been great. And I mean, that's what set up the goal for Morrison.
Yeah, it was such a well-worked move. Yeah, good spot from Nicky Hogarth in terms of seeing him out there. And let's face it, it was no slouch of a run either. Alegria used his pace there, he used his body well. We dink into Morrison, and Morrison's just playing with so much confidence in the last few weeks. But it's not just the showboat stuff that we know he can do. Like, he's working so, so hard as well. And I think if Morrison had got man of the match on Saturday, no, I don't think many would have argued as well. I know we'll come on to him, but McCann was outstanding again. Again, was a shout for a man of the match. But yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that still in a minute, Stevie. We've got a lot of questions to ask in between there. But yeah, and then obviously, so Morrison with the first one. Allegri had the one off for offside, but then he got his goal, which we've been crying out for, because, you know, we think that could be the first of many, because, you know, obviously ran to the bench, big hug with John McGlynn. It looks like it's going to be a player that's going to thrive on confidence. It was great to see that goal. Great turn, great hit from him.
Yeah, I thought the turn that he made for the goal was, yeah, effectively took two defenders clean out of it. And the way he curled it into that far corner, I'm like, they said he wasn't playing with any confidence. Like, that was the ultimate confidence move. Like, the way he went across the keeper with a shot. To be honest, the easy option would have just been to hammer it like straight at goal. But the fact he had the confidence to go for the far corner, I think actually said a lot about him.
Was his weaker foot apparently as well? I didn't realize.
No, that's his weaker foot, yeah.
And you know, you did a few shots in there, and you know, it was interesting. John McGlynn in his interview before the match says that Falkirk are the team with the most shots in Scotland. Which has amazed me when you think of probably since the Dundee United Celtic game, that's now out the window.
That might have changed it. Yeah.
I thought it was a great statistic, you know, and Allegri, I think, has played a big part in that as well. So good.
I agree. I thought he was outstanding on Saturday. So listen, I know we joke about another couple that could have got it, but Allegri was, and he didn't even play the full game. It shows you how good his time on the pitch was.
Played 60 minutes, didn't he?
Yeah, and it just shows you that how well he did during that time, and he more than deserved.
Big Johnny Joy. So first, we're looking great that first half. You know, potentially, I heard Lewis in his post-match interview saying the best 45 minutes we probably had this season, and certainly in the league. But yeah, then come out the second half, and we looked a bit sluggish, Ross.
We did. There was loads of wee misplaced passes and stuff, and that you could sense a little bit of frustration. However, the crowd, Stevie mentions the penalty there, you're thinking, oh no. But actually, did you hear the crowd? The South stand, sorry, the KM stand was on their feet trying to back them. Main stand was at it as well. You sensed, like, come on, right, okay, we've had this setback, let's go for it now. The subs were perfectly timed as well, so... That 10-15 minutes we just didn't get going, and there was a bit of sluggishness, as we said. But do you know what? It's a 90-minute game, and we nailed it.
No argument with the penalty, Stevie.
Nah, it's one of those ones. Like, I think Mackie knew himself; he didn't even need to make the tackle because the guy's running away from goal, and he's effectively just stuck a leg out. And it's one of those ones. When we first started going 30 years ago, that probably wasn't a penalty. No. To be honest, he stuck the foot out. He's given the guy the excuse to go down, and he's went down. Yeah. In that scenario, it's a penalty.
Yeah. See, the thing is, when you watch it back, though, at the time I did think it was a penalty, and you watch it back a couple of times, it is a bit soft. Like, the guy has made the most of it. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? He's went down quicker.
But not in that first thing.
But he gave him the option to go down, and that's and that was all he needed.
I thought it was the only thing the ref got wrong, if I'm being honest. I thought the ref
The good game.
So you didn't see the example where he stood and looked at the linesman, and the linesman stood and looked at him when they tried to decide who to give the throw into?
Well, listen, that's standard in League One, Stephen.
Well, exactly. we've been very critical of the referees on here, but I thought the referee, and I'm just trying to find his name, but I thought he had a really decent game, to be fair.
Barry Cook,
there you are. Well done. But no, he was decent enough. When we're, you know what, it goes 2-1 then, obviously, with the penalty. Got to put your hats off to Nicky Hogarth. You know, went the wrong way for the penalty, but brilliant save from him to keep it 2-1. Because, I mean, from that point, that was really the kind of turning point to get suddenly that and the triple change was like, right, okay, let's get the fingers out, boys. And that, you know, was lifted the crowd again. On to the third goal, I mean, again, you know, we were at it, just at it, and obviously a great ball from Nesbitt. And substitute, big Ola Lawal, brilliant diving header, Ross.
It was an absolute peach, you know, like, you don't see diving headers that often, but it was so, like, reminiscent. I remember Big Crawford Batty back in the day against Hearts, what a diving header that was. But the cross was an absolute pitch-perfect cross. I know I've been a big kind of critic of Nesbitt's crossing and no beating the first man at a corner and stuff, but that cross was phenomenal, and it was such a lovely goal to watch back again and again.
Yeah, I mean, Liam Henderson had one just before it as well. He came off the bench, and like you can tell from the side of the park, and you know, when he went onto the park, that boy is an absolute leader and brilliant. My favourite part was he stood up for a free kick, so I love a big centre half.
Yeah,
he absolutely thumped that one, didn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely hammered it.
Yeah, so I would bring him in. I know we're not talking about Dundee yet, but I would bring him in tomorrow night.
Yeah,
with Stephen McGinn suspended. I would bring Henderson in.
It's a good shout. That's a good shout. I mean, all in all, we got that third goal. Obviously, sending off. I mean, it looked all in all a sending off from me when he last man. Yeah, it had to be a red card, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that's as stonewall a red card as you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
If you're the Queen of the South defender, you probably feel reasonably hard done by. He got out completely done by the bounds. If you actually watch it back, it almost backspun a little bit as it came up, and it's just completely taken him out of it. But as soon as Burrell's put it past him, he's took him down. Like, that's it, done.
Yeah, it was an easy decision.
I think he started walking before the card came out, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, and we still kept pushing after the red card. We still kept pushing and pushing. And, you know, it was just a really good pickup, because there was that dodgy 20-minute spell where we were going, all right, okay, this isn't great. But it was the substitution. And like Ross said, the atmosphere was lifted in the stadium. I've not heard the stadium like that in a couple of years, so long may it continue. Though I see a few people criticising there was no goal music. The Amarillo wasn't available.
I don't mind that at all. Honestly.
You don't mind that? You're an old school.
I think we're getting a bit pedantic.
Listen to the crowd. Let the crowd do it. If the crowd want...
Yeah. Well, maybe it's not needed. Maybe we're getting to the point we don't actually need it for atmosphere, which is great to hear. So what I want to put out, something that I picked up on was when Stephen McGinn went off, I thought it was really interesting. He offered up the captain's armband to Hetherington, and he didn't accept it, which I thought was very strange, because then he was club captain last year.
I thought Hetherington did take it. Who ended up taking it?
I think it did Henderson take it?
I thought it was Donaldson or Henderson.
It was Donaldson, actually. It was Donaldson took it. But I just thought that was a bit strange, that.
It's a tough one, John. He's lost the cap. I'm saying lost it. Yeah, he did. He's lost the captaincy over the summer with a change of management, right? His nose is maybe a little bit out of joint. He's been great. He's been far, far better than what he was last year.
Yeah.
Is he a first pick on the team sheet? I don't think so. But he's you depend on him now. Like when that cover, he might well play a part tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, I think when you look at you know what might happen when Williamson gets back and moving Yeats back into midfield there, I think Harrington might find himself on the bench, especially with the kind of emergence of Lowell, and see how he plays in the next few games. John McGlynn, in his post-match interview, talked about mental resilience. Lewis kind of pointed out that we seem to have had, you know, that patch, when you look at that 15-20 minute patch that we had, you know, years gone by, I mean, Stevie, you've not seen a lot of that, but years gone by, we would have probably lost that game, Ross.
Well, I think we would have done. That goal would have been a kick in the nuts last year, or in fact, the last couple of years. And certainly last season, the heads would have went down, the fans' heads would have went down. And it probably would have been enough for Queens to go and get an equaliser on a different day.
Yeah. Well, talking of the interviews, here is the gaffer, John McGlynn, talking to Lewis.
John, a great result today. I think a lot of people were expecting a very tough game, but that was quite a confident win.
It was a very good performance, absolutely.
The stadium is now out of a red light.
It was a very good performance. Yeah, excellent first half. Really, really good at first half. Great start. Great first goal, you know. Nicky's played a big part in it. It's something that we were looking at and worked on. Obviously, Nicky's just came into the team. This is his third game. But it's something we've been looking at right from day one. The goalkeeper to the striker relationship, looking to try and trigger something very, very quickly in that situation. Now, to be fair, that's the first time it's kind of like come off. It's been, but Nicky's hit a great ball. He's hit the ball in the right area. Juan's physically a strong lad who's done really well to outmuscle the defender and manages to poke the ball for Callum, and Callum's done exceptionally well, taking it inside. It's a great strike. So it was, perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Great start, and I thought we played really well after that, you know. Juan, his finish was sublime. Stephen McGinn did really well out in the touchline to press the ball, to win the ball back, to see the pass, to make the pass. And again, Juan's done really well. Comes in on his weaker foot, you know, bends it away in the corner. So these will be goals that I'm looking forward to looking back on tonight, you know, when we settle down a little bit. And thoroughly deserving the 2-0 at half-time. Maybe could have been more. I think Nisbet's hit the bar. We've had other opportunities. It was satisfied, really, really satisfied. However, we didn't start the second half particularly well. Slack from us to give away a penalty, which I didn't think we needed to actually make a challenge in that situation. However, you know, it is what it is. We lose the goal, it gives them a little bit of lift, and then it's a test of character, it's a test of mentality. And I'm delighted to say that although it takes a day or two of your life, you know, with regards to going through all the emotions and almost having a heart attack and everything else, then it's good to come through that. When you've come through the other end, that you've had to go through that test of character. The opposition's came back in. The stadium goes out a little bit quieter. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to sink or are you going to swim? You know, we had to make changes. And then the guys have reacted. And then we got corner kick and free kicks and corner kick and free kicks. And then brilliant balling from Mary Nisbet. Ola, who we've put on, great header. Liam Henderson had a header very, very similar. His didn't go in. And we had other chances. At the kickoff, we actually pressed the ball really well. We're going through. Their lad brings down, I think it was Nisbet again. And then again, we, you know, the dirty 10 men. So playing out the last 8 minutes, very, very comfortable. Still trying to add to the scoreline. But yeah, a really, really good, again, team performance. Excellent. You know, we really should be coming in here tonight talking about a clean sheet. But Nicky had a save at 2-1. He had a save at 2-1. I think Sean Mackey's cleared one very close to the line on another occasion. And so it was a tough game. You know, it was a tough game. We expected a tough game, and it was a tough game from, you know, Queens have come down for the championship. And as we've been talking, you know, at Friday with Adam and that, they've got aspirations to go straight back up. But so have we. We've got aspirations to go up as well. So we're delighted to win that type of game. I think everyone would fork up minded anyway. You know, the last couple of games, really convincing games we maybe expected. This one was a wee sterner test, and it was a test. I think we've come through it flying colours, and we look forward now to Kelty next week.
So there you go, John McGlynn flagging up, you know, three very good goals. You know, he was very impressed with the crowd and what was done there as well. But yeah, he seemed a very happy man. He seemed a very happy man.
Yeah, he did. He was, you know, I like that.
In John McGlynn terms.
In John McGlynn terms, yes, Stevie, you're right. In John McGlynn terms, he moved from like a kind of, you know, a four to a five, you know, so he had a smile on his face. Had a wee smile. So it was good to see.
He's just got a very different style to obviously probably managers we've had over the years. And I think for some people, that'll take a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved it. Allegria, Lewis obviously cut off with Allegria and Gary Oliver as well, who we didn't mention. I have to say a shout out to Gary Oliver as well. I thought I'm very critical of how far he has to, he seems to drop, you know, when he's meant to be kind of up and supporting. But he works so hard, Gary Oliver. He really does.
I like him. I do. He's a worker, isn't he? As we said on Saturday, there was a lot of times where he was back at the sort of centre circle, try to look for the ball and pick the ball up. I don't mind that, because he does then try and get himself into a sort of goal scoring opportunity. Granted, he's only scored one goal this year, but there'll be more.
I think so, and hopefully he's saving all his goals for the Pars as well.
He's got a track record for that, doesn't he?
He does.
Exactly. So hopefully he can do the job against them in a few weeks' time. I did love the fact that Roy Lewis did speak to Allegria, and he started off the interview with "I." Remember Julio Giordio from the old Harry Enfield thing?
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
So I've got this image out of Allegria when he starts dropping Ken and all that into interviews. So I hope that happens. He starts dropping all these Scottish words into his post-match interviews. So, shout out to Big Allegria saying aye in the interview. Right, let's go to the view from the other supporters. Let's kick off with Grant. I don't know what Grant said. Overall, we deserved the win. Some great football, fantastic goals, and some of our crossing was brilliant, which is very rare.
Indeed. Brian says, good performance. Liam McCann, very unlucky not to get the man of the match. Also great to see a diving header. Possible question, point of discussion for this week. When was the last time we scored so many good goals in one game? Each one today was excellent.
That's a great shout for next week's big question. We'll put that out, Brian. That's fantastic. So we'll get on that for next week's big question. What game have you seen us score the best goals in? I've got to go, the Hibs playoff game was pretty decent. Decent goals in that, but there you go. So we'll throw that out for the big question for next week. Peter says, well, that was fantastic. 100%. There's not been such a positive atmosphere at the Falkirk Stadium for a few years now. Great team performance all over the pitch. Have to say, delighted for Allegri. A good goal and really imposing performance. Well done to the team and staff. Come on, you Bairns.
Love it. John, I assume it's not yourself, John, says second goal comes from McGinn. Battling for the ball, and we haven't seen players doing that for seasons. Big difference in the whole team's attitude. Better all over the park compared with the last few seasons.
That must have been a name that you considered, Stevie, for Man of the Match. Stephen McGinn was fantastic in the middle of that part. Battled. He just seems to play the right ball every single time as well.
Yeah. Right place, right time, right pass. To be fair, when it team discussed around the table was Allegria and Aidan Nesbitt, just for clarity. Those were the two names that were in the running.
Right, wow. There's a lot of people bigging up Liam McCann, who had a very, very good game at left back, Stevie.
There was plenty of players that played well. Like McCann played well, McGinn played well, Allegria, Morrison was handy. You're going out to 11, like the 11 starters, there was six or seven pretty decent performances. Like McGuffey was a little bit quiet, Oliver was a little bit quiet. Although probably the one person that hasn't been talked about that played really well was the 18-year-old at right back, who's not even a right back.
Absolutely.
I thought some of the maturity that he showed through the game was outstanding, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Stevie, it's been a constant with him as well. Finn's been absolutely fantastic. He really has.
He has been. David says, Wan can score. I was one of his critics, but his hold-up and link-up play today was tremendous. I'm delighted he's finally broken his duck with a composed finish. My man of the match, however, was Leon McCann for his tireless running up and down the line.
Yeah.
And on the right wing at times as well.
He did, didn't he?
He did,
the roving fullback. Drew says, great winning performance, overall deserved. Survived the scary 20-minute spell or so, and we were brilliant aside from that spell. I think Ola, as in Ola Lowell, will be a key player this year.
What other Olas have we got, like?
Good point.
Scott says, great awareness from McGuinn, knowing when and what areas to change. Great catch from the players fighting through the dodge spell, confidence and commitment. Playing a big part. Totally deserved the win. We have a few game changers now, which bodes well. Hope no one left early. Ross Wayne.
Listen, I know where that's going again. I've saw every minute of every game this year, bar one game I left with 15 minutes to go. Even John McGlynn had a go in his pre-match interview saying, for those that stayed.
I hope John listened to this podcast and realised that. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a very, very valid point. When you looked at what came off the bench, there are game changers there on the bench that could go and win his match when the cards are stacked against us, isn't there?
Totally agree. Craig says, great performance. Full team played their part. McGinn is probably the best player that we've had since Will Vaux in the middle of the park, if not the full team.
You can't disagree with that. I don't think you can disagree with that. McGinn is such a mature performer. Dave says, superb result. Performance survived the 15-minute wobble and Hogarth made one great save. Morrison, Nesbitt and McCann, standouts. Legria, excellent first half, but needs support with him up top. Great changes from McGuinn when they were needed to. All in all, great day.
Brilliant. Campbell, instead of having a 20-goal striker in the mould of a Declan McManus, we've now looked at four or five players who are all capable of chipping in with goals. So Morrison, Burrow, Lowell, Oliver and Allegria, all good goal threats, and it's not easy to set up against. Totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that 4-3-3 that we play, that formation seems to suit the players that we've got there. And I mean, obviously, that's why McGuinn's brought these players in. But, you know, when you bring on Lowell in the middle, or, you know, have Burrow in for Allegria, it certainly looks like a formation. Hopefully, many more goals to go. It's come because that's 9-3 now, which is great. Sean goes, don't want to be premature, but the Bairns may be back. Summer recruitment has improved the team tenfold. Fairly solid in defence. Dangerous in attack, even decent options off the bench. Really hope we can have a good season and at least be right in the mix for promotion.
Brilliant. And last but not least, Grant, if Johnny Joy running across to give McGlynn and Smith a cuddle after scoring did not give you a lump in your throat, then you're not human.
Brilliant. Aye, big Johnny Joy doing the business and getting off his goals. Right, all that being put aside, well, there's no point in even asking Stevie, who is Falkirk Daft rated player of the match was, because he picked the man of the match on Saturday, which obviously was Wan Allegria. So you're going with sticking with him, Stevie?
I'm sticking with that. No one's going to convince me otherwise.
Roscoe, who are you going for?
Do you know what? I'm not going for an individual. I'm going to go for a collective, right? Oh, it's the collective is Falkirk Football Club. I think on Saturday.
I'm going to explain why.
Team were on point. Fans were in there in numbers and voice. It was brilliant. And for those who watch Soccer AM, right, Falkirk weren't the winners on Saturday. Football was the winner.
I'm going to go with the populist decision from our listeners, and I'm going to go see Leon McCann. I think he'll be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when McGuinn gets the players back that he needs, because I don't think you could put McCann out of the team. The form that he's on, you know, he showed it against Edinburgh, showed it again on Saturday. You know, Sean Mackey didn't have the best second halves and obviously gave away the penalty. I think they're potentially, you know, as good as Sean Mackey's been, I think he might stick with McCann at left wing back because he gives so much energy out there. So we shall wait and see with that. Okay, then, who are we going for our Falkirk Dafty then?
Oh, that's good. I didn't come prepared with an answer for that one. Help me out, Ross.
Go on, Ross. Who you got?
I've genuinely, when I think about the players, yeah, there's maybe, as Stevie said, there's a couple of players who are maybe a quieter game than they have before. Like McGuffey was a bit quieter and Gary Oliver maybe, but they were still steady. So I genuinely don't have one, and I've nothing to critique.
Get off the fence, Ross Wayne. Falkirk's the winner. Football's the winner. I've not got a Falkirk Dafty. Oh, God. Sean Mackey's got to be it. Giving away the penalty, and I thought he had a very poor second half. In fact, the fact he got hooked, I think goes to.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh.
I think Sean Mackey. I've been a big fan of him. Don't get me wrong, but I thought he's got to be our Falkirk Dafty this week, just for giving away that penalty when you know it could have went a lot worse than that. So. Oh, okay, here you go. You're shocking, John. You can't say that. I've got to give someone.
Do you know who was an ex Falkirk Dafty? Was Josh Todd. What is his hair all about?
What was that all about?
In fact, there you go, Falkirk Dafty.
That's supposed to be a midlife crisis thing. He's only about 30, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not as worrying as at one point when Ross turned to me and said, I really just want to brush Sean Mackey's hair.
Well, listen. We had been in the pub for a few hours, and that may have been an early comment. And I'm going to stick by it.
And Ross, also shout of the day. We had Ross's favourite shout is push out. We had two of them, and he actually turned to me after 5 minutes and says, "Can I start the Olays now?"
I did, didn't I? Actually, I forgot.
You did die after 5 hours. Can I start the Olays? No, sharp.
I think you allowed me about 3 minutes to go.
I did.
To be fair, in terms of Falkirk Dafties, there was a guy sitting two rows in front of me who was literally on their back the whole game. And I'm really? Like, I dread to think what he was actually like when we were playing badly.
I know.
Welcome to the main stand, everyone. Welcome to the main stand. Listen, Stevie, thank you so much for joining us. When are you heading back to New Zealand?
A couple of weeks' time. So I've got my sister's wedding this weekend down at Gretna. So that's on Sunday. And then I'm roughly heading off about the Friday or Saturday after that. I don't actually...
Yeah. Well, have you got to make up to Dundee tomorrow night?
He's froze.
Stevie has been recording this podcast while travelling from Livingston to Falkirk. So it's gone now. I know what he's done. He's walked away. The car engine's been switched on. He's lost the Wi-Fi connection. It's all gone tits up. But that was Stevie Hamilton. Thank you very much for Stevie to join us. Remember, if you want to be a pundit on Falkirk Daft, it's really easy to do that. Just drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week in Falkirk Daft, we ask the big question that needs to be answered in tribute to our guest, Stevie Hamilton, who is all the way from New Zealand. We are asking this question. It's a story Ross can't wait to tell, or can't wait for me to tell, is what is the big game that you missed? Do you want to go first, or will I?
I'll set the scene.
Right.
I think I'll set the scene, John. So, yeah, this has been in my head since we started doing this. So obviously... a few years ago, in fact, oh God, are we nearly coming up for 20 years? Oh, it is 20 years ago, isn't it?
Is it really? Oh my Jesus, God. Right.
Okay, so 20 years ago, we had that famous 4-0 win over Hearts at Brockville, a game that no one would have wanted to miss. And we're in, I think we were in behind the wall rather than Elliot's for some reason, whatever reason that was. We're upstairs and behind the wall. Everyone's there. It's midday. Everyone's up for it, getting the beers in. Looking forward to this cup tie that we're been desperately waiting for. John comes in and the Converse comes in, grabs a pint, gets chatting. And from my memory of it, I think me or someone else gave someone a match ticket. And John's face just dropped. And he basically was in shock that there was tickets. And from memory, mate, your words were, wait, it's not all ticket today, is it? Yes, John, it's been sold out for weeks. Is that your recollection?
Yes, that is my complete recollection. At the time, I was a student in Edinburgh. I got the day off work to come through for the big cup game. You know, like, because when you're a student, it was probably before a lot of communication, mobile phone and all that sort of stuff as well. And, like, obviously, come to, I didn't realise it was all ticket and it was horrendous. But, however, I wasn't the only one that made this mistake, by the way, because my younger brother, David, did the exact same thing as me. And also shout out to Sammy, John Ballantyne as well, who also did the exact same thing, right? So I went down to the Brock Vault and stood outside the gate, just, you know, asking for any tickets, any spare tickets, no joy at all. So me, my brother and Sammy went back up to behind the wall. Jeff was on the telly. We sat there with pints, and you could hear, you know, you could obviously hear the roar from Brock.
Of course you could. I know, from Brockville. You heard everywhere in the town.
Yeah, didn't you? And then you just went, you heard this roar go up. My God, it's 1-0. And then it, obviously Jeff Stelling would react on the telly to it. And then it just kept coming and kept coming. And you're just like sitting, as much as we're like, yes, jumping up on the tables and behind the wall, like the three of us, absolutely empty, by the way, apart from the three of us in there. Jumping up on the tables upstairs behind the wall, like, and just like, yes, come on. And then just there's that realization that we're pumping Hearts 4-0 here and we're sitting, but at least we've got to have a few drinks. And
well, that's true. You got a few pints as well.
Disaster. Yeah. Ross, what's the big game that you missed?
Oh, definitely. It has to be Voodoo's. So the away leg. I mean, so the home game is obviously a fantastic. It was brilliant to see European football at the stadium. I just wish I could have followed the team over to Liechtenstein. I had been over at Prague and stuff and done the Cesky Budovici tour a few years earlier, but competitive game. And my wife was very heavily pregnant at the time, so the permission slip was denied for my trip over. So I had to make do with Falkirk TV, which I don't know, for those that didn't go over and try to listen to Falkirk TV, this was the early days of Falkirk TV.
Yeah.
And bless them, it never worked. And and so you basically, we had the radio, as the old school radio.
Yeah.
That was as best as it got for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I would have just been down in Newcastle, or I think I'd just been made redundant. So it was like money was a bit tight. So you were just like, I couldn't afford it. I thought, right, I'll go to the next game because we'll beat this team from Liechtenstein, surely. We thought we would,
but.
And just a disaster. So I missed that as well. But yeah, a few people picking up on that. But let's go through the big games that you missed. DMCP missed the semi-final versus Hibs with Sibbald scoring, watching as my boy was born. Oh, 2 days before. Watched it on the sofa with him in my arms. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't
it? Fair play. That's a good story, isn't it? Wee Tam says he missed the League Cup win to Rangers as he was late getting home from his work. Cadet scored the winner. That's a sore one to miss as well.
I know. Were you there? I wasn't there.
Yes, I was. That was 93, 94, I think it was. Am I thinking of it? No, no, sorry, 94, 95. And,
94, 95, must be nearly that.
Yeah, no, it was 94.
What was it?
Yeah, because we were in the yellow strip. So that was the, phenomenal. 3,500 Bairns behind the goal, and the place went bonkers. And what a night.
Aye, absolutely. Wee Tam said missed the League Cup win. Wee Tam. Sammy Dow, the title winning game versus Clyde Bank at Kilbey, was an apprentice butcher and was refused the day off. Still got mega pished that night though.
Fair play to him. I think I would have been telling the head butcher, right, I'm going, mate. I'm definitely going. Ali shares our situation, Voodoo's away. However, he's also mentioned God's goal at Perth now. For those who eagle-eyed may spot the shirt behind me, so it's the number 10 away shirt from, I'm saying it's from that season. Everyone else says it's not. Everyone's saying it's Scott Sloan's or something like that. I'm saying that's God's 10 shirt. We'll never know.
You just take
that. Signing it. I'm taking it to that due in November as well. He's signing it.
Absolutely. Just going back to Sammy Dow, you know, obviously he was apprentice butcher, didn't get the day off. Do you think he had beef with his boss? I've got to get one in it.
Listen, that's worse than my soccer AM analogy earlier on.
Drew says, since I started going regularly, it has to be the 6-1 versus Dundee United game out with the family. Couldn't believe it when I checked the scores to see we're 5-1 up. That was a great game, that.
It was. I think we're all shocked that we're 5-1 up at that time. Craig says drawing 3-3 with Celtic in the Eddie May season, where Big Pedro returned to score. As we know, he always comes and goes. It was the only home game he missed that season, and of course, it was the only one that was worth going to.
Yeah, it was. It was. That was that Big Pedro return. Mm. Goggs missed the 97 Cup final. Was in England. Not only that, I had to work, but and it wasn't on the TV either. So Gorg's completely missed the 97 Cup final.
Wasn't the English final, and this is going back obviously so many years, but was the English final not somebody like Sunderland and Liverpool or something like that? So that would have been on at the same time.
Aye.
Back in the day, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, Stuart, Clydebank, 94. His dad went through himself. I was just being an 8-year-old wee dick and not wanting to go. That's a fair old statement. Fair enough for that bit of honest, constructive feedback for himself. To be fair, I get it. Because, like, I'm trying to think what age I was then. So I would have been 13 or 14. So I was still a wee dick, but I was at least a wee bit older to realise I need to go today. Yeah. So fair play to him for admitting that.
John, one of my brethren, he Falkirk versus Hearts 4-0 Cup, couldn't get a ticket. There we go. Thanks for that, Joe. That makes me feel a bit better.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, see, he at least tried to get a ticket, Joe.
That's true.
Tam, he missed the last game of the 2008-2009 season where we went up to Inverness and won to stay up. He was on holiday in Berwick-upon-Tweed. His brother, who was at the game, texted me to ask who scored because he was going daft. However, he did make the cup final the week after.
Yeah, and Craig comes Hearts 6-0 at Brockville. I was playing football in the park. I was 9-year-old, mind, and told my dad and brother to go. And I met them after, refused to believe the score. Went the following week to Motherwell, and down we go. Brutal. Brother told me I was a jinx all summer after that.
No, that was a sore one, that Motherwell game. I think what a crowd we took through to Fir Park as well. Both upper tier and lower tier were absolutely wrapped, packed with Falkirk fans. So that's a sore one. G Pro, now this could be one of the prophet sons, I think. So missed both the Hibs playoff games as he just started a new job in the west of Scotland, jumping around a pub in Tynehoosh, watching the games whilst people sat eating family meals. So that must have been a sore one to miss.
I'm glad you got the pronunciation of that one instead of me, because I was like, how'd you say that? So well done.
That's how I'm saying it. So whether that's right or not.
Right. And finally, one of our directors, Keith Gourley, has been in touch. He says he missed the ICT final. He just started a new job in Costa Rica, and the final was at the end of his first week. Not a chance of getting back. So Keith missed the Inverness Cali final.
Yeah, obviously we lost, but that would have been a hard one to take, because from memory, I remember seeing Keith at the semi-final against Hibs, so that must have been a tough one to have went to that, knowing you're in the final and then knowing you're going to miss the... missing the final, so that's a sore one, Vicky.
That's still a second row game. So that's it. Thank you very much for the big question this week.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So every week at Falkirk Daft, we like to preview the matches coming ahead, and there's two matches to preview this week, Roscoe. So let's get into the first match, which is the League Cup, playing Championship team Dundee this Tuesday, right? And on from Up the Bonnets podcast, Dundee's number one podcast, I'd just like to add there. It is Danny. How you doing, pal?
Hi, not too bad, Johnny. Probably the only Dundee podcast, so it's easy to claim number one.
Well, we do the exact same.
Why not?
Listen, Danny, I was on your podcast kind of previewing match, so we're sharing it here, so we'll get it from the Falkirk's perspective now, because you guys, when I was speaking to you on your podcast, you're a wee bit worried about this match from what I kind of gather.
Yeah, last two results, especially Friday night's defeat at Ayr, has kind of scunnered us a little bit, I think. If we got a result there, then I probably would have been pretty confident going into this game, but just the kind of manner we're defeated in is I've not got much confidence at all.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying it's defensive problems that you're having this season, Danny, isn't it? It's that middle of defence where you've not really improved.
Yeah, and it's a problem for the past two seasons. We should have really strengthened the season in the summer, and we haven't. We've brought in one boy, Tyler French, who has been pretty decent, but we're still playing with a defence that got us up at the Championship, but we still had one of the worst defences in the Championship that season. And then, obviously, we got absolutely bulldozed, pile-drived out the Premiership. And the three of the boys that run that defence are still playing there. And it's not saying that none of them are good enough. All of them have shown that they're good enough, but we just need reinforcements. And just maybe something else, just to kind of give us different options, because it's all very the same thing around them all. And I think we just need to mix it up a bit here.
Yeah.
Danny, do you think there's any, is there any signings imminent before the window slams shut?
There is a couple of rumours that their Dens is going to be busy next few days, and I would hope so. It's definitely needed, because we are, yeah, we're needing to bring boys in up front as well as defence. We've got an abundance of midfielders, to be honest, so we might not have much urge to get somebody in the middle of the park, but definitely, yeah, I've heard that there's going to be signings here and there, and plus departures, there'll be people going.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's interesting that obviously you brought in Gary Bowyer as your manager, Danny, but he doesn't, as of yet, I don't know if it's been a financial thing, but he hasn't, you would think he'd be using his network down south to bring boys in, you know?
Aye, that's one thing that we kind of all expected. We thought we'd see a lot of, like you say, a lot of players that he's been around, and when he's done like the under 23 coaching and also managers Blackpool and Blackburn, but yeah, there's not been much though. I've noticed that we've had quite a lot of trialists from down south, like from the under 23s, and none of them have really made the mark. But yeah, I did think we'd maybe see one or two signings from there happening, but it's not really happened. To begin with, I was kind of like, well, if it's not the right player, it's then it's maybe a good thing. But now the transfer window's kind of creeping up on us there, and that's starting to panic a little bit, I'll be honest.
The only thing we would say, Danny, is see the under 23 market down south, it's not all it's cracked up. Yeah. Obviously.
Well, obviously, Danny suffered Paul Hartley as well, remember? No, they've suffered Paul Hartley as well, yeah. So we've got that in common at least. Yeah. couple of ex-Bairns in the team, Danny, I wonder if any of the group play tomorrow night. Jordan McGee, Zach Rudden, and Alex Jakubiak. What have you made of those players at Dundee?
Jakubiak's been, he started off good this season and then he got his usual hamstring going. He's hardly played for us over the three seasons he's been at Dens, and he's, I think, scored 4 goals, and that quadrupled how much he scored all the other seasons. He's there's a player in there, but he's got legs of an 8-year-old man, to be honest. McGee, I really like McGee. I think when we won the championship, when we came up, McGee was absolutely amazing in midfield. But when we made the step up to the Premiership, he kind of faltered a little bit. But then he was in a team that faltered all season. So you can kind of look at it that way. But I like Jordan McGee. He's a boy that I would like to see back in the team soon. But he's also coming back from a bad injury, a long layoff as well. And Zach Rudden, he has scored on Friday. It's his second goal of the season. I'm kind of jury still out on him. I know he's still young, but nothing really he's done has impressed me a lot at all. I mean, since he signed for us, and that's probably the reason why I'm kind of wanting Boyer to get in and get a striker or two in this team, because also we're missing Jakubiak now. We're down to two strikers because Cillian Sheridan, he's still injured, or he's on his way back, but he's another boy who, like, legs could snap any moment. Rudden, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's no looking good on my part.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
He was good in his spell. Yeah. And let's not forget, the side he was in was utter dog shit. So it wouldn't have been hard to shine, but he did really, really well.
Yeah.
In his spell at Falkirk. I see he's shaved his head, though, and he's got like some sort of sea shanty beard going on, though, as well.
It's shiny as hell. I done commentary for the Partick game for Dundee TV. I got asked at the kind of the last minute, and that's one thing I said on the commentary. I was like, he's absolutely blinding me here. He's got the napper is absolutely smooth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at previous last five games between Dundee and Falkirk. You won 2016. It was the Scottish Cup. Mm-hmm. You wanted Dundee. It's always been back and forth between Dundee and Falkirk. Yeah. Look at this in the Championship away 1-0 at Falkirk in 2014. In the Championship again 2013, 2-0 for Falkirk. Draw. You know, Dundee win. It's just back and forth. It's always seemed to be that way between us and Dundee.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned on the Dundee podcast, yeah, it was always Dundee fighting it out. And from Vivid memories like from 2009 onwards. It was like Dundee and Falkirk had fantastic games. And one that always stands out in my mind is the, it was a season that we went into admin the second time, and I think it was around November, and we took a large following, and I think half of the sport were dressed in fancy dress. Don't know why, never asked, but, and I think we scored to go 3-2 up or something like that, and everybody piled over on the pitch side and over the advertising boards. But I think it was ended 3-3.
Oh, I remember that game. Yeah. Was there not like a couple of Dundee fans in like a horses outfit or something like that?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was absolutely surreal. And it was you're right though, it was a real tight game. I can't for the life of me, John, I don't know if you've got the details there, but I remember it being a proper like end-to-end game. It was a belter.
I missed a few of the goals. I was late coming in, so I missed. I think Dundee went 1-0 up. And as I was taking my seat, Falkirk equalised. So by the time I even got my ass on the seat, like it was 1-1, and I was like, oh, it's going to be turning out to be a no bad match, yeah. And it was a good match.
There's always ding dong battles. So hopefully we get another one tomorrow night. Before I get your prediction, I need to tell you this story, however. So I work on the radio, Danny. I work at Coyd One, and we do a competition on the breakfast show called the 5K Minute. Now, how shocked was I this morning when I answered the phone to get the contestant, as I normally do, say, you know, how you doing? It's you're on to the 5K Minute. Would you like to play? Yeah, absolutely love it. I said, what's your name, sir? He said, Leah Ashcroft from Uddingston. And then I suddenly went, hold on a minute. And then I said, Leah, you got anyone to help you in the car? He said, yeah, I've got my mates Paul and Jordan. So it turns out it was Dundee defender Leah Ashcroft who flew the 5K Minute. And it was Paul McGowan and Jordan McGee that were in the car on their way up to training. However, so I thought I would see, they managed a 4 out of 10. I was very lenient and I gave them a 5, right? However, what I thought, for a bit of fun, let's see if you can do better than your players.
Go for easy, right. Easy.
Okay, so these are 3 footballers on their way to train. Now, bear in mind, Danny, there's 3 of them, right? So you're at a bit of a hindrance already. Ross, can you put 60 seconds on the clock and we'll give Danny the 5K minute?
We will. Indeed, just give me a second and I'll do that just now.
So this is what they failed. And there's a couple of questions, which I'll get back to at the end, which I'm surprised they failed at, right? Okay, so you got 60 seconds for me, Ross?
60 seconds starts now.
Right, Danny, what is the boiling point of water at sea level?
Pass.
Matt Lucas and Noel Fielding host which Channel 4 TV show?
Pass.
Dead Man's Chest was the second film in which franchise?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
On a standard Monopoly board, what colour is Leicester Square?
Red.
What Glasgow and the West team are currently top of the SPFL League 2?
Pass.
In transport, what does HGV stand for?
High Goods Vehicle.
Who released the song? Who released the song Toxic in 2004?
What was that, sorry?
Who released the song Toxic in 2004?
Britney Spears.
What is the name of the small ceremonial mallet used by judges?
Mallet.
What is the name of the small ceremonial mallet used by judges?
Mallet. And that's the 60 seconds, is it? That's the 60 seconds.
Well, I'll give you the last two. Vincent van Gogh cut off a part of his ear on which side of his head? 50-50 ball there.
Right side of his head.
He's just left. And rigatoni, farfalle and garganelli are all types of what food?
Cheese.
Pasta. Right. I'm going to be honest with you, Danny. You didn't do as well as the Dundee players did today. You managed a 2. However, it was very interesting that pre-professional footballers didn't know the answer to what Glasgow and the West team are currently top of the SPFL League 2. They said Airdrie, who aren't even in the same league. And what was more interesting is the fact that Paul McGowan, because he's been in front of the judges a few times, what is the name of the small ceremonial mallet used by judges? And it was a gavel. So you think Paul McGowan would have been straight in with that answer.
That's very true.
Ross's hatred for Dundee just got even more that they said they got Airdrie in a different league. They're not even bothered with the league they're in.
Listen, what do you think the score's going to be tomorrow, Danny?
I'm going to stick with my prediction from last night. And I know I said an easy 2-0 win just to wind up Ross, but I'll go for a 2-1. A hard-fought 2-1 win for Dundee.
Hard-fought 2-1. Roscoe?
I think it'll be a draw after 90 minutes in extra time, and I think Falkirk will go through in pens.
I sort of said the same thing last night on their podcast as well, so there we go. That was that, I did have my head and my heart prediction. Brilliant. Listen, Danny, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft and repaying the failure. And, well, as I said last night, best of luck tomorrow.
No, no problem, lads. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, Danny. Cheers,
Danny. Thank you.
Cheers. See you later, lads.
So that's a Dundee game dealt with, Ross Nets. On to the league against Kelty, who are currently bottom with a point. But that point was a draw against Dunfermline at home.
Yes, fair play to them for that as well, always. I just hope they're not raising their game against the bigger sides, because obviously they've got that point and it might be a tough place to go. So I think we're going to have to be at it again on Saturday. I know they're bottom of the league, but I genuinely think we're going to have to be at the top of our game to leave there with the 3 points.
Beat off Montrose there at the weekend, and my friend Mark, who we've had on the podcast before, I just sent him a wee message because we've not been able to get a Kelty supporter on this week because we were speaking to Danny there about the Dundee game. I said, what do you make of Kelty on Saturday? His one word message back was, shite. Offered very little. Then he went on to, I said, could you elaborate? I said, offered very little. Our keeper had a couple of saves, but never looked like a threat. Worst we've played this season that I've seen, although I didn't see the Betfred game. So he thinks they're the worst team that Montrose have played this season. But he says they think he'll struggle this season because there's no obvious goal scorer on the park because Nathan Austin is still injured for them, which is probably good news for us.
It will be good news for us. The only thing is, have they not got a few ex-Bairns in there as well?
Well, yeah, they have. We've got Michael Tidzer and that little arsehole Callum Higginbottom.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah, I forgot that.
And of course, old friend, our old favourite, Joe Cardle, also plays for Kelty.
Yeah, he's desperate to score against Falkirk any time he plays against us.
Of course he is. Yeah. I'm sure Callum Higginbottom would love a go as well. The good thing, I guess, from a Falkirk perspective is it's a bit of an aging team that they've got there. So hopefully we've got enough energy and enough youth around there that we can cause them real problems.
I hope so. Yeah, that's a good shout out, John. I think they are on the older side of the spectrum, so, and we do have a lot of youth in there. We've now not got an aging squad, so hopefully that is something that's going to go in our favour. I think there'll be a really, really big Falkirk crowd going through as well. We enjoy a day trip over to Fife. Obviously we've got a big one in a few weeks time as well, but I think this will be a nice wee warm up.
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Honestly, if we set ourselves up, I know I've been really conservative the last few weeks, just hoping for a 1-0 win. However, I think we've set a bit of a marker now over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I think we should be going there with a lot of confidence. I know they're bottom of the league, but they'll be up for this as well, especially with the players that we've just mentioned. But if we turn up and we do what we can do, and we do what we've shown we can do, I think we could score another 2 or 3 goals on Saturday.
So, 2 or 3... No.
Yep, I think it could be. I don't want to say we won't concede because the aforementioned Cardle and Higginbottom and stuff, they'll be trying out their backside to get a goal. So we might concede, but hopefully it's a consolation if nothing else. I'm going to go 3-1 Bairns. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go 2-0 Bairns. I think it will be tough, though. I think it will be tough, especially when you look at the result against Dunfermline and shutting them down. So fingers crossed, 2-0 to the Bairns.
Indeed, that'd be good.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that's us up the road, so I can get some. Right, so Ross, that's it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Please rate, subscribe and review on Apple, Spotify or wherever you got your podcast. And we've had a few reviews in, Ross.
We have. We've started to have a few coming in, which is great. Whether they're genuine in terms of the people,
I'm taking these as genuine reviews of the podcast. So please get on Apple, review the podcast. Have you got one to kick us off with?
We do. So Mr. Your friend and mine, Mr. Leo Fazan, love the podcast. I was going to review it last week, but he dropped his phone.
Brilliant. Great podcast, guys. Keep it up, says Demetrius Petrovicius. Thanks for that. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So no one's friend, Mr. Denon Lewis. So for a year, I stole a livelihood from Falkirk Football Club. These guys say in episode 6 that I'm the worst of all time and couldn't even score in Love Island. They definitely know their stuff, though. 5 stars, a must listen. DL.
Thank you, Darren, for listening. We really, really appreciate it. So please leave a review. If you're an ex-player listening, you know, we've obviously got a lot of ex-players listening. So, you know, please leave a review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at FalkertDav, and subscribe to our channel. Like and subscribe, guys. Like and subscribe and comment below. And you can see our lovely faces as well as listen to us as well. And if you want to join the Discord, lots of chat going on in our Discord channel. All the links are on our social media feeds. And you know what? We'd love some of your money. If you're a sponsor out there, you want to touch the Falkirk, not literally touch the Falkirk support, but, you know, metaphorically touch Falkirk supporters right around the globe, right around Falkirk. You can do all your touching via this podcast.
You can.
Please, looking for, we've got some great sponsorship deals, some great packages available. We'll come and pitch to you, whatever. That's the sales message. Drop us an email, please, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. We'll get in touch and hopefully get a meeting with you. So two big games, Ross, one in the cup. We didn't talk about it, but in the cup, Ross, what would you go for, a more weakened side? Would you start Lawell? Would you start Burrell? Or do you just think balls to the wall, go for it?
Yeah, balls out, go for it. A win this week would be tremendous. Not just, it keeps the confidence going on the park and off the park in terms of the stands as well, but a win financially would be yeah, tremendous.
That's a big thing to take into consideration, the financial aspect.
Yeah, because the prize money, I think if we go out this round, I think the prize money is like 50 grand, right? Which is not to be sniffed at. However, if we get through, the prize money minimum, so if you get pumped out in the quarterfinal, it's like 80 grand, which is a hell of a lot of money. We may then get picked up for one of the TV games as well, so you could be talking another 50, 60 grand from that too, plus whatever revenue you get from the game. And let's face it, if we end up playing one of the ugly sisters, it could be a fair old whack as well. So, no, listen, for both financial reasons and just because we want to win, I think it would be brilliant.
Henderson in from again then, that's the change you're making there?
I think he will. I think Mackie, he'll keep the defence as it is. Yates will probably still be at right back. I hope he has another strong game in there. That would be amazing. But yeah, I would bring Henderson in. There's probably a shout for Hetherington to come back in, but I think Henderson's a big game player. He knows how to play against championship players as well. That's who I would bring.
Plus he offers threat set pieces as well, as a big lad.
He does now.
And he can hit a free kick as well.
He can. I'm not convinced we'll start Burrell or Lawell. I think I wonder if he may use them as a bit of an impact type player on the night. I think he might.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see. You're heading up to the game. I'm not making it tomorrow, and I'm not making it to Kelty either, because I've got my way for a week trip away to see my mate's new baby down in Shrewsbury, so shout out to Nell. But yeah, so I'm missing both games, gutted, but I look forward to reports on next week's show. So thank you very much for listening, as ever, to Falkirk Draft, and until next time, Ross, Wayne.
Expect the unexpected.
Indeed.